Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. One of the truly great dealerships out there. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet. Open till 9 tonight. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Yes, we talk about the great selection of beer, imports, domestics, microbrews, but they also have wine coolers. They have water, soft drinks. They have snacks, right, and the amenities. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day, and the pickle bar is indeed second to none, led by the barrels and the dills. All at Brewers Outlet, open until 9 tonight. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Once again, we go back into the archives for our play-by-play call of the day. It's the 2008 World Series. The Phillies, Harry Callis, the legendary one with the call.
The 0-2 pitch, swing and a miss, struck him out. The Philadelphia Phillies are 2008 World Champions of Baseball. Brad Lynch does it again and stays perfect for the 2008 season. 48 for 48 in save opportunities, and let the city celebrate.
Harry Callis, the legendary one, and we lost him a short time after that in Washington. I want to say it was with the regular season opener. And lost him. It's interesting. For a period of time, I would ask the students in my class the first day of class, just as an introduction. Okay, you know, what's your name? Where are you from? What are your favorite team? Do you have a favorite announcer? You know, year after year after Harry passed away, the number of people, the number of students who were from the Philadelphia area, obviously, would say, who's your favorite announcer? And this is even goes back even as late as a couple of years ago, Harry Callis. Now, Harry had been gone for years. You know, and you're talking about people that, you know, when they were usually in my class, it's a 400-level class, so usually about 20 to 22 years old, somewhere in there. All right. Tells you the impact the guy had. All right. 20 states in this country have sportsbook now. Pennsylvania has had it for a while. And the numbers, by the way, I saw from November were staggering in terms of the sports bet in the state. Right now, virtually everything is shut down. There are a couple of events here and there worldwide. Nothing in this country right now. Although I think horse racing still goes. And, of course, with horse racing, it's OTB. But there's still horse racing in the country. Not at every track. But there's still some tracks, I think, that are open, correct? I think so. I think Santa Anita's even still open. But everything else is shut down. So with that, we bring in Ben Strauss from the Washington Post. Ben, welcome. It is great to have you with us on the show.
Hey, my pleasure. Hope you guys are doing all right.
We hope you're doing well, you and your family and your friends. We hope they're all doing well.
Hanging in there.
Okay, good.
Hour by hour.
Hour by it, aren't we all? Gambling is obviously something that states have been counting on as a revenue source. Obviously, where does it stand right now? I guess on some boards they have Russian soccer, Turkish events. Is that about it right now?
It's slim pickings. Right, you could get Russian Premier League soccer up until the weekend, but then they announced that they were suspending operations. So there's the Turkey Super League and League One, which are playing. I think there might be some Serbian soccer. The upshot, though, is if you're a betting house, if you're a bookmaker, there's not a lot of action to offer. And if you're a bettor, you know, there's not a lot out there for you.
No, unless you're looking at oil futures. Let's talk about the state of it up until now. Okay, to this point, states have gone into this. New Jersey led the way; they won the lawsuit. It didn't take long for certain states, for example, here in Pennsylvania, to get involved with it. What has it meant financially to states so far, based on your research?
So there's about 20 states right now that have legalized it in some form or fashion. But there's big differences in how they've done it. New Jersey, for example, has legalized mobile gaming, where, you know, you can make bets on your phone from your house, you know, while you're watching a game, before the game, you know, and in some cases during the game. You know, in states like Mississippi, for example, have not. Oregon legalized gambling, and I think there's a provision in there where you can't bet on college sports. So it's sort of a piecemeal approach, and the truth is, any state that hasn't embraced mobile gambling has not seen as much of a windfall or spike in betting as some place like New Jersey. In Europe, for example, which is a mature gambling market, I think it's, you know, between 70% and 80% of bets are placed on mobile phones. So I think that's where the real boon is going to be eventually, but slowly and only in some places are people embracing that.
I know, for example, here in Pennsylvania, you talk about Oregon, the inability to bet on college sports. That was proposed by Penn State, among others, and the legislature wouldn't listen to it. So you can do that here. What about kiosks? There's always been talk about kiosks being in arenas, for example. Where are we? Are they anywhere right now in this country?
So, funny you mentioned that. I'm in D.C. The Capitals and the Wizards, the arena here in downtown D.C. is going to have a sports book in it fairly soon, you know, when sports come back. I don't know. We don't know exactly when sports are going to come back, and I don't know the timeline exactly, but there are plans, you know, next year or, you know, soon to have a sports book inside the arena here in D.C. And I think that's going to happen in other stadiums as well. I mean, just speaking about D.C., Dan Snyder, the owner of the Redskins, you know, has a lot of interest in a new stadium. You know, he's, you know, been talking to lawmakers in both Virginia and Maryland. You know, any new stadium that he wants, you know, wants to have gambling be, you know, a part of it in the stadium.
Can you how many states have bills pending? I mean, guys, I think, if I recall correctly, I think Michigan and either Illinois or Indiana had just opened the doors,
you know,
for it about 10 days ago.
Yeah, I think there's about 20.
That sounds right, Ben. Yeah, 20 sounds right.
And I think that there's another handful who, you know, have legislation, you know, set to be introduced or legislation pending. Around 20 is about the number who have, you know, moved ahead and done some legalization in some form.
All right, so here is a speculative question. For states that are looking to obviously help their coffers, coming out of this problem that we have right now, can you envision, and this is a speculative question, some states that may not have been enamored with it before suddenly become more enamored with the idea because it can get cash into the coffers?
I think it also depends on how states are willing to legalize it, because some states have not seen, you know, real windfall. I mentioned Mississippi. I don't think Oregon's done real well. So it depends on how you legalize it. And there are, like, so many competing interests. It's you know, casinos in particular don't want mobile gaming.
That's,
you know,
right.
They want people coming to their casinos. And, you know, they have lobbying clout in various states, and I think a lot of times are the reasons why, you know, some of the laws are limited. So coming out of this, I don't know. I don't know if you see, like, a huge spike sort of trying to fill the you know, the holes here of the, to sort of mitigate the economic impact of, you know, what we're going through and you know, probably are going to be going through for this foreseeable future. I think it, I don't know if you're going to see like a rush to we have to legalize gambling.
Right.
It's going to be a real windfall because you've sort of seen mixed results around the country.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Before all this happened, what effect had other states having sportsbook? What kind of effect did that have on Nevada, which had had essentially the ball game until the last year?
Yeah, sort of interestingly, I think you might have thought this would have hurt Nevada. If you can do the same sorts of things that you used to only be able to do in Nevada, Las Vegas, Reno, right? Nevada did fine. They didn't get hurt. I think that there's still sort of, you know, the Vegas mystique. People want to go to Vegas,
yes,
not just to gamble, but sort of for the experience. And, you know, even though there's betting in, you know, D.C. or, you know, Pennsylvania or somewhere, it's not Vegas. And so I think that they've been able to you know, continue to be pretty fine because people want to go to Vegas and people want to sort of, you know, the experience around the gambling.
Trying to think if there's a comparable place in Pennsylvania that's Las Vegas. I vote no. Okay. I say that all due
I guess
respect.
The closest, right, is with Atlantic City. But yeah. Even Atlantic City.
Yeah, no, I just, you know what? With all due respect to Atlantic City, I've just, you know, I just did a, well, I shouldn't say I just did, I would say it was like a little more than a year ago. I did a basketball game, an NC State, Penn State basketball game in Atlantic City. And I've been there a couple times for tournaments or whatever. No offense to them, not enamored with it. It's not Las Vegas. I mean, it's
right.
Not. All right. So, okay. Now the bounce back from this. Again, it's another speculative question. I mean, obviously there'll be people that will eventually want to put money down. The question is, what do they have at their own personal disposal to do it? The economy was flowing along at a beautiful pace where there appeared to be some disposable income. So have you talked to anybody yet as to what they're thinking about the next year, for example?
Yeah, I think we're sort of waiting to see what happens, right? How long this lasts, sort of what the sort of the macro impact is on the economy, right?
Right.
I talked to, you know, the CEO of William Hill last week. And last Saturday, they did about 20% what they, you know, the handle that they would have normally done on a regular Saturday. So, I mean, that's a big hit. You know, and William Hill and a couple of others, you know, these European-based sports books that have come over here, you know, put out, you know, financial forecast warnings that they're going to lose, you know, a lot of money. And a lot of market cap in their companies. And so the first thing they need to happen is to have the sports come back.
Yes.
I think that, you know, my conversations with people like in sports and media, you know, and in gambling too, is if this lasts for, you know, 2 to 3 months, people are probably going to be able to figure things out and be fine. If this, you know, goes longer,
right,
6 months, like deep into the summer, mm-hmm, it's going to be real problems with the gambling industry because, you know, they've, you know, a lot of these folks, I don't know if you, Penn National is a gambling company that,
yes,
paid a lot of money to partner, bought Barstool.
Yep.
William Hill has partnered with CBS. And so these companies have spent a lot of marketing dollars that they can't get back. They've got fixed staff costs. And if there's no sports, there's no revenue.
Right.
The question is sort of how long can they go? And if this pushes, you know, further into the summer, I think it's going to be, you're going to see some tricky, you know, some real problems with the sports books just because of the cash flow. And then, you know, the flip side is sort of what you asked is, so the sports come back in a few months, but what's the effect on the economy? And I mean, hopefully it's not devastating, but obviously if, you know, people have lost their jobs, if,
right,
you know, the economy is faltering, that means, you know, fewer dollars.
Right.
Bet. And so this industry that, like, just a couple of months ago was roaring, sort of sports betting was coming, you know, it was more states were legalizing it. March Madness was going to be a really big deal. And then the football season in the fall, you know, may not have the legs that it had, and maybe more susceptible to this kind of, you know, no sports than other industries.
Yeah, the March Madness part, I want to say $8.5 billion was spent on March Madness last year, and that's before the states were really rolling at it. I was anxious to see what the number was going to be in a couple of months as to what it was going to look like. Now, of course, we know it's going to be zero. What does England do, for example, in its sports books that you can see being adopted eventually here by states? That you think, you know, because as you said, they've been very progressive about. I mean, you could be in the middle of a soccer match, and you can go to the kiosk and go, okay, I think this is going to happen, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. Can you see that happening here?
I think that's sort of like where the jackpot is. Like, if you can be watching a baseball game, and at the beginning of an inning, sitting on your phone, you have an app where you can bet that the next batter is going to get a hit or make an out, and you can, you know, bet like $3 or $5 on that, mm-hmm. and sort of just play that, right. you know, over and over again. I think that's sort of where this is headed eventually, and that's where you're going to draw in a lot of people sort of wanting to play, like, not a ton of money, but casual fans, you know, sort of want to make it interesting. Like, you're at the game and you play the game. You know, remember the game Pass the Cup where everybody puts a dollar in the cup, you pass it to the next guy, and when somebody gets a hit, you get the cup. I mean, it's so similar to that. And I think that's where we're headed, and that's when, you know, it's going to become, you know, bigger and more widespread. And you're going to see that with golf soon. They're about to roll out.
Right.
Well, they were about to roll out.
Yeah.
Sort of a shot-by-shot betting platform. You know, you can bet on, you know, how long a drive was going to be. Is it going to hit the green with a given shot? You know, you know, make a putt. And I think that's where we're headed. And I'll be interesting to see, you know, how many casual fans that pulls in to get to betting.
Interesting, there have been several sports owners that have invested in either FanDuel or DraftKings at one point. DraftKings is Boston-based, so the Kraft family has, at four different times, invested in DraftKings. Can you see the door being open for teams being allowed to invest in gambling?
Right, I think there's some rules for NFL teams, right, that sort
yes.
of prohibit
oh, yeah.
what they can and can't do, you know, in terms of investments.
Or in advertising to put into the stadium or the ballpark or the arena?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be hard-pressed, I think, anywhere in sports to find places where owners or leagues have turned down money. and so
Well said.
I got to believe that, you know, if this is legalized and it's no longer against the law, whatever... you know, borders or, you know, things kept people from doing certain things are going to come down pretty quickly.
Let me ask you this. I mean, I'll make this the last question. I know your time is valuable. What has legalized gambling in states in this country done to offshore bets? Because over the years, people have made their fair amount of offshore bets. So what has that done to offshore betting in this country?
You know, I think there's still a lot being done offshore because, you know, the rollout isn't necessarily mobile yet.
Okay.
You know, one interesting thing that I think you're going to see is once the rollout is bigger and once, you know, in a lot of states, you know, you can bet on your mobile phones and sort of it's less speculative and sort of people are really doing it, the email listservs that these offshore books have are going to become very valuable to the legal books. And so if you're, you know, an offshore book, you've been somewhere in the Caribbean for years, you know, maybe you just sell your email list to William Hill and you cash out and, you know, you call it a day because you've got such a giant database of people who have gambled with you. And that's exactly what William Hill wants. It's exactly what, you know, MGM wants. It's exactly what DraftKings or these other people want. And so the customer acquisition piece is sort of the phase we were getting into, and that's what the marketing, the Barstool deal was about, the William Hill CBS deal was about, sort of how do you get customers. And so I think, like, at some point, these offshore bets will make a mint with their email list.
And just one quick slice of advice, once the games get going again and you're in a ballpark and you have the opportunity to bet on whether Sandy Leon hits a home run or not, vote no. All right. Again, a slice of advice from this chair to all of you. All right. Ben, thanks so much. This was a great segment. Really appreciate it. Very interesting.
My pleasure, guys. Take care. Be safe.
Ben Strauss, Washington Post. Back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet. Open till 9 tonight here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
The Susquehanna Valley is a great place to live, but it can be difficult to connect to community life. Maybe Christ Wesleyan is that connecting point for you. On campus, discover the Well Coffee House, serving great food and drink options. Meadowbrook Christian School, offering fully accredited education for your students. Dozens of young adults experiencing real life change. Or just check out a Sunday morning service at 9 or 10:45. At every age and stage, Christ Wesleyan in Milton has something for you. We're ordinary people, trying to make our world a better and happier place to live. Find us online at cwcmilton.org. Christ Wesleyan, sharing the light.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Open, by the way, until 9 tonight. Best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. Yeah, water. Yes, soft drinks. Yes, plenty of snacks. Okay. And they roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Matt, you may introduce the next guest yourself.
And joining us, as usually does, but now for the debut of Sports Trivia, the only one and only, Kev the King.
Hello. How's it going?
Kev.
We're all hanging in there.
Yeah, they just shut our state down, so.
Yeah.
But liquor stores are open, so.
We can't say that here in Pennsylvania.
Well, the state stores are, but you can, grocery stores have it.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, Brewers Outlet.
I'm only saying it because somebody yelled from the crowd to the governor, what about liquor stores? And he turns around to the other guys. He goes, what about liquor stores? You're like, who's running anything? You know? Yeah, they're open. Yes, liquor stores are open. It's like, so that's essential, I guess. Only essential places can stay open.
Right. So. And, yeah, we got right now we got temporarily the same thing here, so.
Yeah, right. So I mean, they shut all the restaurants down last week. They gave them 24 hours, so they lost all their food. They had to throw their food away, you know.
Well,
instead of giving them like 3 or 4 days,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
they actually,
we have takeout.
Elmar actually bought food that day, and they had to throw it away, you know.
Here we have takeout, though. And
yeah.
We've used takeout, and I've told people
not
that
every restaurant is set up for takeout. You
right,
know,
I understand.
They're not set up for that. The ones who are set up for takeout, yeah, they're fine, but a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're self-employed, I'm self-employed. If I'm wrong, I can't collect unemployment. I'm out of money.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
That's right. You know, you don't just shut things down like that. I it's a freaking head cold. I don't even know. I know some people who have it. They say it's nothing. You know, I don't. This is very bizarre to me. There's something else going on. Something else is up. So Connecticut's testing 1,000 people a day, and they got 40 yesterday. 40 out of 1,000 people. So my question is, they all had to have doctor's notes to get tested, so they're sick with something else, you know? Right. Just because they don't have this virus, then what do they have? And nobody cares as long as it's not this virus. It doesn't make any sense. Let's do trivia.
Okay.
I don't know.
There you go.
I'm going to get arrested, I guess, when I walk to work Monday. So,
there you go.
I've only got another week, and then I got to travel here. Then we're moving to stores. So right. UConn campus is closed, so there's nobody there.
Right.
Anyway, yeah. Whatever.
Okay, so who gets to go first here?
Aaron brought the old music back.
Oh, very nice. I like it.
I got all kinds of questions. I got.
Oh, you do, huh? Well, then you get to go first, then.
Remember my notebook?
Yeah, yes, I remember your notebook.
It's about that thick. So, okay. Are you a golfer, Matt?
I golf a little bit, yeah.
Okay. In the game of golf, a low hook shot, which does not go very far, is known as a...
duck hook.
I was going to say slice, but I don't think that's right.
Duck hook is correct.
There you go.
This is just a bad day.
I mean, what you don't think in my lifetime, especially the last few years, because I've played a lot of golf the last few years, you don't think I haven't, quote, duck hooked? Shot drives me nuts.
I would have said what Matt said. I never would have heard of a duck hook.
No. You know what? When I drive the ball, boy, I have really good rounds. But that's the one club. My irons are fine. My putting's fine. Short game, fine. Doggone, it's just a roll of the dice if I get off the tee. And every once in a while, I'll say, well, great, we duck hooked again. Well, that's just great. Get the long iron out. Okay.
So you invented the duck hook.
Oh, in fact, yes. There's no question. Dick Girardi taught Bill Walton the jump hook. I taught most golfers the duck hook. All right.
Well, good. I won't feel bad if I pull that same thing off when we play in the Purdy tournament coming up in next month or the month after.
Now we know that Ron Jaworski started his career with the Rams and then spent 10 years with the Philadelphia Eagles. What was his next team after the Philadelphia Eagles?
I'm going to say the Chiefs, but it's wrong.
Kev?
He went back to the Rams.
Miami Dolphins.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, everyone's right.
He didn't make a single start. He only attempted 14 passes. He was 9 of 14 for 123 yards on a touchdown with the Dolphins.
Wow. That's impressive. He's going to do a Tom Brady. Or he did a Tom Brady's doing a Ron Jaworski.
Yeah.
Okay, Matt, you're up.
Okay, so.
He's winning.
This might be a little bit of a trick question. Which NFL team scored the first points in Super Bowl history?
Which NFL team scored?
Which NFL team scored the first points in Super Bowl history?
Well, the Green Bay Packers did. Green Bay Packers did because they were the NFL team.
Kev?
The Chiefs?
Packers is correct. They scored a touchdown. Those were the first points in the first Super Bowl, but they played the Chiefs and beat the Chiefs in that Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I want to say Max the final score was 35-14, but I can't tell you who the halftime show was. I'm sorry.
It was 35 to, it was actually 35
Roger
to 10.
Orsi.
Ah, okay.
It was 35 to 10. Max McGee scored the first touchdown, and the halftime show was the Grambling Band.
Was it really?
Yes, with Al
Hurt. That's impressive.
With Al Hurt, yes.
You're kidding me. My God.
I kid you not.
I didn't know this stuff.
Okay,
you thought
now,
I was crazy with the
Super
Bowl trivia.
Kids, he used to sit down at the drugstore that was right across, like 100 yards from our house, and just read the sporting news over and over and over again.
I believe it.
And read every magazine in the store.
I did similar things. I used to do play-by-play with the TV muted. I used to pretend I was Al Michaels when I was in eighth grade. That's how I got started with this.
Steve did the same thing. Only Steve got accused of stealing. Remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, Mom was mad. You didn't mess with my mother. My mother was one tough little woman.
No, she was mad at them, not mad at me.
You know what?
No, she was mad at them.
She never went back to that store.
No, she did not.
The day she died, she never went back in there.
I know.
Because Steve was just there reading, and the guy thought, oh, you can't, you know.
I was a kid.
Anyway.
I was a kid.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, my turn again.
Yep, your turn.
How many dimples are on a golf ball?
Ooh. That is a good one.
No counting.
no counting.
I'm going to say two.
Two? Close.
I'm going to say 169.
Matt, two?
Oh, wait. Okay, I'm confusing the face of a dimple you have in your face when you smile. Okay, I'm going to say that I'll say 120.
336.
Oh.
336, wow.
Ding, ding,
wow.
Ding, ding, ding.
All right, so now we're going to keep this on golf since it's my question. And then we'll take a break, and then we'll get Matt's question, okay? Okay? It's going to stay with golf. 1971, Apollo 14 astronaut Alan Shepard is at the Frommoro Highlands on the moon and he snuck a golf club and two golf balls onto the moon. What club did he hit?
A wedge.
Okay. Matt?
I'll say a 9-iron.
It was a 6-iron.
Ooh.
It is on display at the World Golf Hall of Fame.
How about that?
He donated it.
Good question.
He donated it to the World Golf Hall of Fame in 1974, and they will tell you it is one of their more popular exhibits there.
That's cool.
And he kind of flubbed the first one, and they were kidding him about it. The second one he did hit, and he said it's going miles and miles and miles. He later estimated, he said, probably went 200 yards. All right, so but that's a pretty good 6-iron, but there's one sixth of gravity, and you can't slice it. All right, we'll
it
come back.
It probably hasn't landed yet. It's probably just floating around.
Well, probably went into a crater. You could call it a hole-in-one. We'll come back with more in a moment. Matt's question here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Bevers Supermarket, open until 9 tonight. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks, lots of snacks. They roast their peanuts, freshen out every day. The pickle bar, led by the barrels of the Dills, indeed, second to none at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Bevers Supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Matt Cotrillo asks the next trivia question.
Okay, we're going to baseball now. Who pitched the only no-hit game in World Series history?
Oh, Don Larson.
Don Larson, yeah.
There you go. Nicely done. Don Larson in 1956. I guess that was a layup.
Okay, I'll give what I think's a layup. Is it my turn?
Yeah.
Tom Brady has a child, his first child, with an actress. What's her name? What show was she on? And where did she grow up?
Bridget Moynihan, Blue Bloods, and East Longmeadow, Massachusetts.
Where?
I think it's East Longmeadow. I don't think it's Longmeadow. I think it's East Longmeadow, Mass.
It is.
Is she from Longmeadow? she from Longmeadow?
I can't. Yeah, it's Longmeadow, not East Longmeadow.
Okay.
With the Longmeadow High School.
All right. I was going to say Giselle Brazil, but I can't remember the show.
I just went three for three. I don't care about the East part.
Okay? You did well, Steve. You got the name, you got the show, but no, it's Longmeadow, not East Longmeadow. I lived in East Longmeadow. She was Longmeadow High School, and she went to the Springfield Civic Center with her girlfriend to watch a bridal shower, modeling. And she was sitting in the crowd, and one of the talent people saw her sitting there and said, "Why don't you model?" And she said, "Well, I'm just here with my friend." She was an English major, and that's how she got, noticed and seen. And before you know it, she had Tom Brady's baby. So,
there you go.
Yeah. Okay, that's it.
Okay,
I got more.
Oh, I'm sure you do. Let's see. I think it's my turn now.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is my turn. What team did Bobby Orr end his NHL career with?
The Rangers.
Matt?
I will say the Red Wings.
The Chicago Blackhawks.
Huh. Really? I thought it was...
Yes.
It was Brad Park went from the Rangers to the
Bruins.
Bruins, yeah.
Bobby Orr ended... And you know what? He was hurt. He only played maybe 20 games. And even though he'd signed this huge contract, he didn't accept the money.
Did you ever meet him? I heard he is absolutely the nicest guy in the world.
They say he is... I always tell the story about WBZ in Boston... One time did the Legends of Boston. So they brought in, it may have been like Larry Bird or John Havlicek or somebody for the Celtics. They brought in, it may have been Yaz or Ted Williams for the Red Sox. It was before the Patriots had done anything. So Steve Grogan represented the Patriots and Bobby Orr. When they were done, everybody went to their respective cars they were driven in.
Yeah.
Because WBZ had provided cars or wanted to know if they validated parking. Okay, that's a true story. That's just the kind of guy he is. Sandwich Golf Club on Cape Cod, he's an investor.
You what?
Sandwich Golf Club on Cape Cod. He plays there a lot. He's an investor.
Is he? He is just, he's so good.
Everybody
for that
says
community.
Everybody just said he's just great.
Yeah, if you don't, he is just a very, very, very nice man, a gentleman. So,
Phil Esposito says he couldn't skate backwards.
Knows his prominence and uses it for a positive way, but he's not. He's just a regular guy.
Yeah, regular down-to-earth guy, they say. I mean, one of those guys I'd really like to meet because, not because he's Bobby Orr, but just seems like he's a great guy.
Yeah, he's a very special man. So,
yep.
Anyway, so no more Tom Brady in New England, huh?
No, gone.
I think he should have retired.
Well, he's going to get some money, and he's going to get better receivers to throw to. I mean,
and
Chris
his wife
Godwin
still makes more money than him.
I think we knew that one already.
Yeah, I think that was kind of assumed. So, Matt, what's your question?
I actually only had two prepared.
Well, that's it?
Yeah.
You done?
I'll remember to do three next time. This is my
that's
first
fine,
time
though.
Doing this, so I'll remember
that's
to get
fine.
Three
I got
going.
I got a quick one.
All right.
That you guys might get. Who was the first NBA player to play in 1,000 consecutive games?
1,000 consecutive games.
Do the alphabet. I'm giving you a hint. That's Skip B.
Skip B.
I'll go to Will Chamberlain then.
Do the alphabet and skip B, and you come up with Will Chamberlain? Okay.
I went to C. I went to C.
Yeah.
My first guess was Lenny Wilkins, but that's.
I'll say MJ.
AC Green.
Oh.
Oh, AC Green.
I figured it was AC, but I didn't know an AC.
Do the alphabet and skip B. AC. 1,192 games. Played 15 years and he only missed three games.
Wow.
That's amazing.
See, that's why I looked at like Doug Jarvis in the NHL. Doug Jarvis played in like 900-something consecutive games.
Wow.
Like, holy, in that sport? Are you kidding me?
How about Eli Manning? I mean,
yeah,
if they
Eli
didn't
Manning.
Force him to sit down, he would never have missed a game.
Right. Jim Marshall, all those consecutive games with the – he started with the Browns then for 1 year, and then he was with the Vikings. I mean, Ron Yeary hardly ever missed. He may not have ever missed a game. I mean, they're talking about an offensive tackle and a defensive end.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Incredible athletes. And they didn't make a lot of money.
No, they had to have off-season jobs.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that was fun.
That was. We'll do this again, and I'll try to be better next week.
it's all fun.
It's all for fun. I mean,
it's fun looking for them. You know, you're reading them, and you're like, wow,
We can have people call in trivia questions, too. We can do that next week.
Yeah, email them in, Facebook them in to us. Yeah, we can do that too. Absolutely.
Sure, why not? That would be a lot of fun. Email us your trivia question, whatever. Right, Matt won't show it to us ahead of time, and then we'll go from there.
Be like Stump the Schwab,
well,
kind
the
of.
Answers.
Yeah, no, I'll email mine on Monday, and then we're like looking them up on Google.
No, Matt, today's show. Send them to me. You and Neil know the answers.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet.